Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe and Mel Garcia.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Safe here with my co-host Mel Garcia. And ladies and gentlemen, the rain has returned to Southern California, and it's cold, and there's plenty of new snow on the way, and it looks like we're going to get a round two.
We had hail in Whittier.
Yeah, well, the snow-capped mountains of the Santa Monica Mountains in the San Fernando Valley are now, they have a top on it.
Which it's like is, halfway down the mountain. That's not really a cap. That's
Well, whatever it is, it's, I'm happy that it's here, and I'm happy that it's going to go away in, you know, maybe a couple of weeks. But we do need the rain and the snow, so I hope it's not an inconvenience to too many of you out there. I have been recently paying attention to a couple of big events in the sports world, and I have no idea where the entertainment value is in this. Not so long ago, I watched a little bit of the NFL Pro Bowl, which turned into a flag football game.
A battle of the network football teams?
They used to call that trash sports.
Yes.
And they played on a small field, 50 yards. And then in between whatever games that they had going on, they had a sled pulling contest where they put weights on it. And I'm baffled. How much money did these poor people that paid to go to this Pro Bowl game actually got anything out of it?
No idea. I was waiting for the tug of war.
Exactly. Let's just have a random event.
Tiddlywinks were next, and then, that was a bizarre thing. Remember. Now, were you ever involved in the Battle of the Network Stars?
No,
because they would get championship teams. I know that.
Yes, we did that. We were the superstars. Did superstars teams.
But that was like always during this part of the where the football was over and baseball really hadn't started yet. Yeah. And they would fill. It was filler.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the NBA All-Star game also was a joke. Jaylen Brown, one of the top Celtics in basketball, called it a glorified lineup line.
Yeah, it was.
Layup line. And no defense, no competition.
Oh, it totally was a defensive freelance. Battle. Defensive battle. It was just.
Not that entertaining to me. It used to mean something.
The women's flag football was actually more interesting to me. And not
certainly
because,
visually.
Well, I didn't. Actually, even there was more effort. There was just so much more focus. They were actually playing hard.
Yeah. All right. We have a very special guest coming up right after this message. And we will be right back.
Alan Fox.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avins, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
big features, big ink, big savings. That's what you get when you buy an HP printer at Staples. Like the HP SmartTank 7301. You can connect, work, and boost your productivity. The HP SmartTank delivers seamless printing and quality color documents at a low cost. Plus, you get 2 years of ink right out of the box. And now, for a limited time, save $90 on the HP SmartTank 7301 at Staples. For the best deals on a huge selection of HP printers, go to Staples. Offer good in-store and online. Ends 2/25.
Science proves quality sleep is vital to your mental, emotional, and physical health. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to help keep you both effortlessly comfortable. And it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. So you're at your best for yourself and those you care about most. Life-changing sleep, only from Sleep Number. It's our President's Day special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed, plus free home delivery when you add an adjustable base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
If you're looking to get a new car, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive. Sure, you love your old car, but you know it's not normal to give instructions on how to open the window. It should be self-explanatory, but it's not. And notice how when you're in other people's cars, you can feel cushion in the seats? That's pretty nice, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new car. It's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided and serviced by affiliates and third-party insurers.
This report is sponsored by Office Depot. Office Depot has savings on everything small business owners, home office workers, teachers, and students need to succeed in 2023. From stylish and functional furniture solutions and tech to keep you organized and productive, to calendars and planners to keep you on schedule, and cleaning supplies to keep your space spotless, now is the perfect time to restock, refresh, and renew. With a free Office Depot Office Max Rewards Program membership, teachers looking to replenish their classrooms can take advantage of exclusive savings in stores with a coupon available online at officedepot.com/rewards offer now through April 1st. Office Depot also offers customers a way to help schools stretch their budgets through the company's Give Back to Schools program. Customers can simply make a qualifying purchase and provide the school's ID number at checkout, and the designated school will receive 5% back in credits for free supplies. Some schools earn up to $3,000 a year through this program. Learn more online at officedepot.com/giveBTS. Visit officedepot.com or an Office Depot or Office Max store today.
They still call me the Penguin.
And we are back for another segment of We'll See About That. We have a very special guest in-house, or not in-house, on Zoom. My good friend of 30-some years ago helped me immensely get through a period of time that was very difficult for me. Alan Fox.
Mr.
Alan
Fox.
Welcome to the show,
thank
Alex.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to be on.
So, you know, you have had a very multi-tiered success level in your career. You've been a professional tennis player. After your stint at UCLA, where you were a three-time All-American and you were the singles and doubles champions and won two national championships, you become a coach at Pepperdine for 17 years. You win two national championships there and have players go into the professional ranks. You were one of the top 10 ranked UCLA players of all time, and the names of Jimmy Connors and Arthur Ashe come to the forefront. What a successful career. You have a PhD in psychology, and that's where I came in. And thank you again for your help. But
this is making more sense now.
Yeah. And so where exactly? So where you grew up in Beverly Hills. I'm sure you probably started playing tennis at an early age, and fill us in on the rest of it.
Well, actually, I didn't grow up. I ended up at Beverly Hills High, but that was late. I entered there as a junior. Actually, most of my young years were in Tucson. And I started tennis actually at 14. So I got a bit of a late start. But somehow or another, I liked the singles and competitive aspect of the game. I mean, it suited my personality. And so tennis is a funny game. I mean, it looks very, I should say, nicey-nicey, you know, compared to basketball or football or something. But it's actually a very rough sport. It's very personal. And it's actually a fight. It's a fist fight that you can't hit the guy in.
Oh, cool.
But feels very much the same. And I have quite a competitive nature. And so that it suited me. And I liked the struggle aspect of it. I was not a great natural athlete like you, Ron.
Thank you very much.
It came easy to you, Ron. You didn't have to do anything.
Exactly.
He still doesn't work out and look at him. It's
so
annoying.
Easy, Alan. So easy.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sure you were a lot better athlete than I was, but I was a fanatic worker and a driven one.
Discipline,
and so,
always with you.
I quickly figured out that the more tennis balls I hit in practice, the better my chances were in the tournaments. And so I made up for athletic ability deficit by putting in more hours than anybody else. You know, one Sunday, I think I managed to get in 15 sets of tennis.
Wow.
You know, I start at 7 in the morning.
Your poor knees.
Quit playing until you couldn't see the ball anymore. And so that was the secret of whatever. I was never a great player. I was a good second echelon. You know, I got quarterfinals at Wimbledon 1 year. So I could beat anybody sometimes, but I wasn't a great player. But I maximized what I had as a player. And so when I started writing books on the mental game, I could use the years of experience I had personally to sort of add it to what I knew psychologically.
Correct. And all your books are kind of centered around that theme. And they're all really interesting. And I have some other questions about that, but I wanted to get to the fact that you're downplaying your success here. You know, you played in the French Open. You played the U.S. Open. You got to the quarterfinals at Wimbledon.
He was ranked number 4 coming out of UCLA. And,
right.
You know, wow.
You won a lot of tournaments. You had tremendous success. And I want to know who the player was that beat you at Wimbledon.
Who was that bastard?
That's a match that I would love to replay.
Well, replay it.
Might be a little late now, but... yes, it was Cliff Drysdale beat me.
Okay.
Drysdale.
And I played a stupid match.
It's not like you.
You're going for the wound, aren't you?
In those days, it was serve volley, all of us, most of us, that were having some success, served and volleyed. And I had a mental rule. Where I was going to hit my second serve into the guy's backhand in general. Okay. And that worked mostly because most people, although their backhands were quite good, they couldn't hurt you as much as they could with their forehand. And so that was my rule. And against Drysdale, it was a very dumb thing to do because in those days, everyone hit their backhand with one hand. It wasn't today. Most people use two hands on the backhand. Drysdale used two hands, and I wasn't used to playing two-handed players. And so I didn't realize that serving to his backhand was actually like serving to his forehand. Yeah. The two-handed backhand is as strong as the other side or stronger. So it made for a rough day. I had my chances, mind you.
Where did the scouting report go on that, Alan? Come on.
A little more salt for the wound here.
So you have you used wood rackets back then, right?
Oh, wow. How cool.
So yeah. you were in like really the time. I mean, these rackets today, you know, ton of power more. You know, you're
strung so much tighter.
It's just a completely all the technology that's gone into the game too. Do you like the fact that we have all this better equipment? I mean, these guys are just hauling off and crushing these balls today.
Yeah, well, the tennis racket, the benefit of the newer technology is that the sweet spot in the center of the racket is bigger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this gives you a bigger target. So now you're not going to miss hit as frequently. And so it makes your stroke more consistent. So then you can afford to hit harder and closer to the line, closer to the net, and not make many errors. And so it's a huge benefit to have the bigger sweet spot. And also, the more power the racket gives you, the less you have to, it makes the stroke easier because you don't have to take the racket back as far. You don't have to take as big a backswing to get the power you need.
You just got
to
meet the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easier to hit it in the center, and you don't have to swing as hard to get the same amount of velocity out of the ball. So it's all a benefit to more accuracy and less errors.
So, would you say the wood racket era was more of a finesse game?
Well, it was more of a finesse game. They told us when I was coming up, the word was, you don't need to hit it that too hard. The trick is to hit it deep, which of course still holds.
Right.
But they downplayed the idea of hitting it hard, and so we never tried to hit it as hard as these guys do.
Yeah.
Nowadays, when they're learning to play or early on, they hit it as hard as they can, pretty much, and they control it with topspin to keep it in the court.
Right.
But you know, I don't like watching the game as much as I did because it pays to hit it quite hard, which everybody does, and so there's not as much tricky stuff as there was back.
The finesse is missing.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the idea of the game changing so much. You guys are still location, location, location.
Yeah.
In your game, more
where
so
where they're
right?
Not. Yeah.
I mean, and that court coverage today from the young people is just absolutely phenomenal to me. And we'll talk more about that. We're going to have to take a break here coming up soon. We're going to be back with our very special guest, Alan Fox, right after this.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
Come on. You watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
Hello, Ron Say. Welcome back to We'll See About That. Our special guest, Alan Fox, is with us. Mel Garcia, co-host. there's so much here to cover, Alan. I'm curious as to when you were coaching at Pepperdine, what kind of a regimen did you have, a daily practice session? What would that look like?
Well, I hate to admit this, but I was not the most organized coach that you're going to run into.
Shocking.
I took it as a part-time job. I didn't take it seriously at first. I mean, they were paying me $5,000 a year. So to me, it was just for fun. I was doing it. So that meant that I would do whatever I wanted to do all day, and I would show up for practice about 5 minutes before practice, and I would run it out of my head. And now, what I did add as a coach is I was probably more knowledgeable about how to work your game than most coaches because of my years on the tour. Most of the coaches didn't come from the tour. They came from coaching somewhere. And so my regime was to have them do the kind of stuff I was going to do when I would walk out on the court. And so I had a bunch of drills that I did, and I would vary them from day to day. But I didn't set out with some sort of lesson plan. I was doing it by the seat of my pants. Now, luckily, when I first started coaching, I could still play a bit. And actually, I could beat all of my players. So they would listen to me.
It's a good way to get their attention.
Well, you're backing up the respect.
Yeah, credibility, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's where I got the credibility and respect because I could go out and play still.
Right.
I was not a regimented, strict type of a coach. Yeah. I was more one of the guys.
You were the cool coach.
Yeah. But I could, the trick in coaching, I didn't understand at the time what the number one thing in coaching was. And I used to think it was to teach them how to play tennis or to, get them somehow make them better tennis players. I didn't realize that the number one thing a coach must do is control the players.
Wow.
That was the essence. My old coach, JD at UCLA, he was a football player. And he wasn't really a tennis player, and he couldn't teach us much. But he had control of us. And so I soon found out that the most important thing was to control them and to get the players to do what I wanted them to do. And I didn't do it as a disciplinarian.
But they
did it more by chiding them and sort of maneuvering them around from the middle rather than the top.
Well, they must have cared for you a lot because that's why they did it too.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very good friends and I've had long-term relationships with Richard Gallion and
there you go, yeah.
Brad Gilbert and some of my ex-players. We were sort of friends, except friends, but I was a little, I was slightly more powerful than they were. So
yeah.
It somehow worked. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly how or why, but it did.
When you were growing up and learning tennis, who did you model your game at? Who were your favorite players?
Jack Kramer, Pancho Gonzalez.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Trabert. They were the big names. Laver, I didn't think he was going to be any good.
I think
because he came to the U.S. He was 1 year older, or still is 1 year older than me. So when I was 17, he was 18. He showed up for a couple of our junior tournaments. And I saw him playing, and he had this sort of wristy, whippy topspin thing. And I thought, yeah, this guy's never going to be any good. You know, he makes too many mistakes. Right. But I could have been slightly wrong on that.
Just history might agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot what the question was.
So did I. Okay, we're going to listen. I want to talk to you about something that probably is very special to you. You had a chance to play in the Maccabee Games, and you won a couple of gold medals, and more than a couple in 65 and 69. Where does that stand on your list of accomplishments?
To be, you want honest opinion answers, I suppose. And to be honest, it doesn't stand very high. I mean, I'm happy that I'm Jewish and I'm proud of it. I'm not terribly religious. And so the tournament, I enjoyed the tournament. I enjoyed my time in Israel. But the competition wasn't that strong in that tournament. So I couldn't take many bows that I did much. So it didn't feel like a great accomplishment just because of the quality of the tournament. It wasn't that strong.
Lack of competition?
Yeah, I figured you might say that because it's not like winning Wimbledon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean it's one of those lesser tournaments, but it's a prestigious event. And the fact that you represented one.
I felt that it was a great event to go to because all these Jewish athletes came in from all over the world. And we spent time together. And that part, I enjoyed all of that. I enjoyed winning it because I like winning anything. but I'm not taking a bunch of bows.
No, I understand.
My performance.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite court you liked to play on? Did you like to play on grass? Did you like to play on, you play in Paris, that's a different surface. It's really a lot of trouble for a lot of players.
Big differences depending on surface. I like concrete by far the best. Okay, hard courts.
Right.
Grass, I like second. And clay, I hate it. Okay, clay was very bad for my game, and the reason was that I was an attacker. I was a net rusher, but I wasn't. You know, I'm 5'8", or I was 5'8" when I was playing. I'm a little less than that now. But in any case, my game was made for attack. But it wasn't a powerful attack, it wasn't a big serve, and I relied on speed and mobility. And so on concrete, I would serve and keep it deep, come in, volley deep, and I could scramble at the net. The footing was good. So that suited me. Clay was murderous for me because I would come in, hit the first volley deep, and the court would slow the ball up, so it would sit up. Now my opponent could run over and pass me, you know. So it took the teeth out of my offense, and the alternative was for me to stay back and run with the guy. Well, that wasn't my game,
right.
And I'd get up against these European clay courters that could maneuver you around. you know. And so I didn't have enough steadiness, consistency from the baseline to beat those guys, and I couldn't blow them out at the net. So it was trouble. Grass was somewhere in between. It was an attacking surface, but grass benefits the big server because of the bounce. The balls skid away. And so I wasn't a big server. So suddenly there was a group of people where I would have more difficulty returning their serve. So grass was okay for me. I won Southampton, which was a big grass tournament once upon a time. And I could beat guys on grass. Clay was pretty sketchy for me. So concrete was my surface.
Yeah. I have no doubt that clay would have been difficult for me because I would have been slipping and sliding all over the place.
The footing in tennis amazes me sometimes. It's that of a boxer or even of a quarterback, that all the work that goes into the footing.
And getting all that clay and stuff in your shoes, and you know, it's just
hydroplaning across
right?
the court.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they slide. You know, you're right. It's a hydroplane.
But falling in the concrete can't be all that much fun either, though.
Yeah. Well, you try not to fall on the concrete. I fell a couple of times on grass. You could fall on the grass really easy. I slipped once. I was playing Marion back on the Eastern Grass Circuit. I was doing well, too. I'd beaten Fred Stolle in the quarters, and I was playing Holmberg, a guy named Ron Holmberg, in the semi, and at about 10 all. I went for a ball, slipped, and put my arm out to stop, and it ripped tendons in my right shoulder.
Not good.
So I went out for a couple of months on that one.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah. Ouch.
That did hurt. You know, I had labrum surgery on my shoulder, so I know how long it takes to recover from that. All right, we have another segment coming up with our special guest, Alan Fox. We have many more things to discuss. I want to talk a little bit more about your books in this next round, Alan. A lot of interesting stuff coming up. Please stay with us. We'll see about that right after this.
People who come to Cricut stay with Cricut, just like our customer, Michelle.
As an entrepreneur, every day is different. My phone bill from Cricut, on the other hand, always stays the same. Without surprises, hidden fees, or annual contracts, I can work worry-free.
That's Michelle, everybody, doing business like a boss. Smile, you're on Cricut.
Real customer paid for testimonial. See CricutWireless.com for details.
Every piece of land has a story. Some right there is behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor, like the Upshaws.
This is my tractor, Penny. It's all about attention to detail.
But the Nelsons love cruising around their expansive Montana ranch in their John Deere Gator UV.
We've been here since 1868.
While the Caggianos drive a John Deere zero-turn mower to keep their Long Island brewery looking sharp.
Don't call me, don't bother me. I'm going out to mow for a couple hours.
Run with us and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
Guys, are you getting up multiple times a night to use the bathroom? As we get older, so do our prostates, and that can mean urinary problems that affect our sleep and quality of life. Life is better outside the bathroom. Real Health's Prostate Complete can help you relieve those annoying and painful prostate symptoms. Available at Walmart or visit realhealth.com for more information and to order yours today. Try it risk-free with our 120-day money-back guarantee. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease.
Hi, I'm John Smoltz, former Major League Baseball pitcher and current Hall of Famer. I've had the pleasure of seeing so many great products come and go, but the Rope is the best I've ever seen. I promise you it's going to help the little leaguer, it's really going to help the big leaguer, and it's going to save those young arms from a lot of injuries.
The Rope Trainer allows a player to grip an actual baseball or softball while warming up. So check out theropetrainer.com and see why Hall of Famer John Smoltz swears by it. That's theropetrainer.com.
Wendy's 2 for $6 lets you mix and match some of our best items, like Dave Single with a 10-piece crispy nugs, medium strawberry lemonade with a spicy chicken sandwich, spicy chicken with a Dave Single, Dave Single with a strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, if you're into that. Chicken Sam, crispy nugs, strawberry lemonade, Dave's, nugs, Sam. Whew! Pick what you want at a price you want. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's 2 for $6.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. On the card only. Single item at regular price.
If you own a business with employees and have not received your COVID ERTC payroll refund of up to $26,000 per employee, you need to act fast as time is running out. ERTCfiling.com has helped thousands of businesses across the country receive over $500 million in government funds. This is not a loan and you do not have to pay it back. ERTCfiling.com consultants will make the process fast and easy and at a fee of less than 2%. Let ERTCfiling.com show you the money. Go to ERTCfiling.com to see how you qualify.
Fees are at fixed rates per quarter qualified, 2% based on total average rates.
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours, the decisions are yours.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And welcome back. And today in Dodger History is actually today again in Dodger History, because today is the beginning of the Cactus League in spring training. It's about to start, people. And they're playing against the Milwaukee Brewers.
And all the high expectations are starting to roll into form, and should be exciting for Dodger fans. They're going to get to be able to go over to spring training now and visit their favorite teams and players.
I thought you were being sarcastic at first. And you know, also in this week of Dodger history was a very, very sad moment. Ebbets Field was demolished. I think it was in spite of them leaving, and they did it so quickly, but... That was a beautiful structure.
The end of the Brooklyn Dodgers' tenure in New York, and I can tell you that the very first game I ever saw on television was a game broadcast from Brooklyn, and the very first professional game I ever went to was a AAA game in the Coast League in Seattle, Washington, against the Seattle Rainiers and the Spokane Indians, who were the AAA affiliate of the Los Angeles Dodgers then.
Wow.
So I don't know if that means anything, but I ended up being a Dodger, and it is what it is. But,
and there's still a lot of people in Brooklyn who are still not happy about what happened. But yeah, but thank you for the team anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, Alan, we are back with you. And, you know, most of your books here are centered around, you know, a mental philosophy and, you know, how you break people down and how you recover through difficult times. And you did that with me. What inspired you to go ahead and try to put this, you know, on paper?
I backed into it. I didn't intend to do this. After I got my PhD and then finished with the tour, I was about 30 years old at that point. I went look for a job, and I started interviewing as a research scientist, and I realized that I was looking for the paycheck, as to how much they paid. I wasn't really that interested in working as a psychologist. So I decided to become a stockbroker. And so I interviewed some brokerage firms. And weirdly, this one brokerage firm, Kleiner Bell, the head of it, this guy named Bert Kleiner, who was a big time guy in the investment business, He decided he wanted an assistant, and his secretary called me. We met, and he asked me to become his assistant. I said, "Mr. Kleiner, I have had no experience in business at all." You know, he said, "What he liked was the fact that I had a PhD in psychology." He was sort of a alternative thinking kind of guy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't I wanted to be a stockbroker because of my tennis background and my association with wealthy people to sell stock to. But anyway, so he said, "It's all easy. It's simple. You'll figure it out in no time. I'll move a desk into my office and you'll I'm going roundabout, but we'll get there." And so I'll move a desk into my office and you'll learn it right from the horse's mouth here. So I did that, and I was with him for about a year. The market changed. I went to another brokerage firm. and spent the next 2 years, and ultimately ended up running an investment firm myself. It's bizarre. It took me a while, but I learned how business worked. Anyway, when I was at that, running that investment company, I got a call from Tennis Magazine, and the editor said, you know, you have a PhD in psychology, and it would be interesting if you could write some articles about the mental game. And so that's how I started. I eventually left the investment business. I'd made some money, and I thought I had enough to go do what I wanted, which was to coach tennis and get involved in tennis. So I started writing when I was in the investment business. And then as I got into tennis, into coaching, it developed into more articles. And then Tennis Magazine wanted a book. And so that was how I started my first book. They gave me an advance, and with a gentleman named Richard Evans, I wrote my first book. Was that long enough?
Hey, you're carrying the show right now. You're doing well. Exactly. It's okay. Hey, listen, I do have a question, though, and I asked you this before, to think about this. If I'm the better player, why can't I win? And here's my question. What player inspired you to write that book? Because I think there was had to be somebody that had your number.
Well, there was somebody that had my number. I will admit that. It didn't cause me to write that book. I mean, what caused me to write that book was about a $15,000 check.
That's my man right there. And a boy,
so,
Alan.
Does that apply if you're the better team? Why can't I win? How does that work? How do you apply it to?
I mean, that title actually came to me because I had seen another book in a bookstore called Why Do I Feel Guilty When I Say No? And I thought to myself, that's a very shrewd title. Rather than some of the, it makes you think about it, okay? And so that's what inspired me to come up with that title.
If I'm a better player than Mike, it sounds like something Ron would say, though. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, listen. I have guys A to Z. We don't have enough time to cover all the guys that got me out. So, but in one of your books, you have stated that you thought that Dick Gould, the Stanford coach, was the most successful coach in tennis history. Can you expound on that?
Well, you know, people think that great coach is one that teaches, that works with the player and makes him into a much better player and so forth, has great drills and all that. Actually, my definition of a great coach is the coach that does his job the best, and that means winning championships. Okay, the coach that wins the most championships is the best coach, because that's what the job entails. And so Dick Gould has won more championships by far than anybody, and he does it with a variety of talents. I mean, the number one thing in coaching tennis, or maybe any sport, is to get the best players, is recruiting.
That helps.
That's number one by far.
I have a question. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Gould gets the best players. He's very good at it. And I would also say that Gould is quite a nice guy. And my teams played his teams many times, and generally with unfortunate result. But he never did one thing that was unfair, unsportsmanlike. You know, he's a gentleman, and a good guy, and So that, you know, what he does on the court with his players, I don't know. But he did recruit people like John McEnroe to, and at that time, McEnroe had already reached the semifinal at Wimbledon. So, you know, your guy is up against a guy that had played in the semis at Wimbledon already. And you're just the college guy. So if you get the best players, that's number one. It's also handy to keep them and to keep them happy, which Gordon is very good at. Yeah,
well, now, in your days at UCLA, did you ever get to have any kind of extensive conversation with John Wooden, speaking of coaches?
I didn't have extensive. He was a tennis fan. He used to come out to the matches. But he wasn't John Wooden then as we know him now.
Right.
I mean, when I was at UCLA as an undergrad playing for the team, Wooden's teams had not won the NCAAs yet.
Oh, wow.
I think his first win was in about 63.
A year so after
I
you
was
left.
In grad school
yeah.
at that time.
Yeah.
But his record, you know, he did it in a way that's unexplainable pretty much. But there's no way that I can imagine someone could do that again. I mean, what did he win?
10?
Like, 7 in a row or yeah. something?
We have a guest, Alan, in the show. This must be UCLA today because we have another UCLA graduate that you know and who is my attorney and my representative, Steve Schneider. Steve can tell you how many they won. Steve probably going to the UCLA basketball game tonight.
Oh, okay. I've been there to tell. I mean, the record is so astounding. You know, so many in a period of 12 years, maybe won 9 of them. I don't know what.
Steve
I'm
does.
Just throwing out numbers, but it's something
the,
like
the,
that.
The answer is he's won more than anyone else will ever win, and I don't care what that number is.
Yeah. But when you think about it, you know, like it's a single elimination tournament, okay? And he's playing, he's got young guys, and the game, you have a hot day or you have a bad day, and you're in or you're out. You know, you could lose so easily. You could have the best players. Yeah. You could recruit the best players. You know, and there's enough variability that it's astounding that he could win even with the best player that much.
Right.
But he did.
He certainly did.
I do have a theory of how he did it, by the way.
We got the time.
And that is his pyramid of success.
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
You know, you know, what he stressed was basically virtue. And that overrides, the stress sometimes. I mean, if the focus is on, he had a bunch of virtuous ideas that he pushed, and he would stress that rather than winning itself. And I think when the pressure is on, it's not wise to be thinking, I gotta make this so I can win. You think like that, and you're liable to get very nervous. Unless you're a genius, but stressing character and virtue and unselfishness and that sort of thing is a great benefit. And I think that's one of the things that helped his teams come through so many times.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they were a great team. And they had, and back then, of course, you realized that, you know, they stayed together for those 4 years. They're not coming and going.
And not one scandal.
Yeah. Well, are you talking about the team when they had Shackelford
Alcindor?
Alcindor.
Well, that's when it got started. That's in my heyday, too.
All the way up to Walton. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Alan, I want you to stick around.
Yes.
We've got
it's
a last segment
a
to go here, but we're winding down here on this last segment. I want to thank you for joining us again. We're going to catch up with you right after this message. We'll see about that right after this.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you're looking to get a new car, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive. Sure, you love your old car, but you know it's not normal to give instructions on how to open the window. It should be self-explanatory, but it's not. And notice how when you're in other people's cars, you can feel cushion in the seats? That's pretty nice, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new car. It's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided and serviced by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Can't be just fine.
And we are back. Once again, you are listening to the number one hit song in the 1970s in Vero Beach, Florida. Thank you very much. That was One Game at a Time, sang by yours truly. And, Alan, I want to, once again, thank you for being our guest today. Wonderful career, multiple leveled success. You're welcome to listen to us the rest of the way out, but I do want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Once again, interview. Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, the men's and women's basketball tournament is nearby. It's March Madness already, and UCLA, like I said, UCLA is well represented here. And today also in the men's and women's tournaments, they're going to be very high seeds with a good chance of success there, I think. But I do believe that the men's bracket is wide open. How do you feel?
You know, And I'm really not sucking up just because Alan here. I've always been a UCLA fan, you know, and so even if they don't make the tournament, I still root for them. But I actually think Purdue has a really good strong chance.
Yeah,
Purdue's looking good.
Yeah, Steve, you think your Bruins got a chance here?
It's wide open.
Wide open.
I've never seen it as so many teams could win. There's no definite. Overwhelming favorite at all. It's just going to be a given, you know, any team can win on any given day. It depends how they're prepared. And we'll see how it goes. We'll see about that.
Alan, your thoughts?
I don't have any thoughts.
Okay.
I love his honesty.
No idea.
Okay. Well, that's good. Mike Gary, how about our guy in the booth here?
Gonzaga.
You like Gonzaga?
I like Gonzaga. I had some relatives that went to Gonzaga. They got a great program. And, Gonzaga.
I seem like a commercial for Gonzaga right now. Sure, are you recruiting or something?
There's some NIL deals to be discussed, perhaps.
Oh, for sure. You know, I got to tell you, I'm right up your alley. You know, I'm from the Northwest, so Gonzaga, Washington State. I like UCLA. Arizona, I think, will do well. Once again, it's a toss-up.
See, I'm a native Angeleno. That's why I go with UCLA.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, I want to introduce our next guest coming on next week.
is Shadow Stevens.
Shadow Stevens. Okay.
Yes. And then
all right, we'll have him Shadow Stevens.
Yeah. And it says we're going to have Patrick Rohn, Edward James Olmos, and Emilio Rivera from Mayans coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week and have a great weekend.
Freaks of speed and motorheads, it's Kenny Sargent with Speed Freaks. Be sure to catch Crash Gladys, Statman, and yours truly every Sunday night, 7 to 9 Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. That's right, Speed Freaks on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.